When the guys asked me what my perfect night would be, I told them the truth. Beer and board games. They thought I was kidding. I was not kidding.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 132 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, starring me, Eric Wahlquist, and joining me is the other star, the real star, the star of our hearts.
Is that me?
That's you.
I'm Jesse the Terrible Treble Wilson.
Jesse, how you doing, buddy?
I've felt like crap all day today.
Yeah, the sickness.
I got, like, the crud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the crud is going around.
I don't know how to explain it. It's not like a cold or a flu. I just feel cruddy today.
Yeah, that's the flu. But my coworker who works across from me in the cube across from me, he goes to me today. He says, he's been sick for a while, and I come in off the bus and I get in and he's like, hey, how you doing? I was like, and I had to clear out all of my phlegm. And he's like, oh, no, did I get you sick? And I was like, no, I just realized you're the first person I've spoken to today. It was that thing where, like, you just haven't spoken to anyone and your crud hasn't left your throat yet.
Yeah.
But you're saying the crud's sticking around.
Yeah, the crud's sticking around. Yeah. It is funny when, like, when you're on the job search or something and you're expecting a phone call, but you have the luxury of sleeping in all morning.
Yeah, Ed McMahon. That's Star Search.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I haven't had that luxury yet, but so, like, you're like, I'm going to sleep in, but I'll keep my phone, like, next to my head to wake me up if someone calls me.
Yeah.
And then you get that call, and it wakes you up, and then you have to do, like, the, before you answer, you're quickly, like, you clear your throat, and you're like, la, 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 la. And then invariably they're like, did I just wake you up?
I'm
cool.
It doesn't matter what you do. You are going to sound like you just woke up. You're like, you hit answer and you're like, hello.
Yeah. No, I wasn't asleep. I don't normally sleep till 1:30, prospective employer.
No, I'm Ray Romano's brother from Everybody Loves Raymond. That's my... That's my impression of him.
His name is Brad Garrett.
Brad Garrett.
That's pretty good, actually.
Thank you.
Hey, Ray. Ray always gets all the credit.
Why does Mom love me more? Anyway,
the crud.
The creepy crud got me.
Speaking of the creepy crud, I had a bus adventure tonight. I'm on the bus for like quite a long period of time, so I usually have multiple people coming and sitting next to me. But the last guy who sat next to me decides to turn around to the guy behind him and start screaming at him and saying, like, fuck you, you asshole! You pushed me! And the guy's like, the bus is crowded! And he's like, fuck you, I don't like riding the bus either! But you fucking pushed me and you have to have common fucking decency! Like, trying to pick a fight with us. And this guy's like a middle-aged man with a mustache!
Weird.
So, needless to say, as soon as I got home, I cracked a beer, and now I'm just drinking and podcasting and having a good time. But it was an adventure.
I think you need to start a new podcast.
What's that?
Where you just bring the podcast equipment on the bus and interview everyone that sits next to you.
I will not say that I have not already thought of this. I'm like, if there's one place, that's the thing, if there's one place you could talk to yourself, it's on the bus. Like, we already talked about this. Like, if I'm listening to a podcast and I want to laugh, I used to be very, very scared of doing that on the bus. But, like, now I'm just laughing.
Yeah. Because you've become one of them.
I hope not. I haven't been picking my nose on the bus yet. I haven't gotten to that level. I'm not saying it won't happen. You never know what the bus will do to you. It's a magical place.
The magic school bus. I've had a couple crazies lately, too, actually.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Both at work.
Yep.
I had this lady come up because I work like kind of inside and outside, and this lady comes up and she looks lost, and so I'm like, "Is there something I can help you out with?" Because maybe she was a customer or something. I don't know.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, my my truck overheated, and you can see it over there, and I ran out of gas. I need to go to the co-op to pick up a check, and then I need to go to Squim to cash it. And I was wondering if I gave you my driver's license number and my phone number if I could have some money.
Weird.
Yeah. And I was like, sorry, I don't have any cash. And then she proceeded to walk all around the port where I work and ask everyone for money.
Well, that doesn't sound like the... I mean, it sounded very specific.
That's the thing. It's like the hyper-specific... like, when people are bullshitting and lying, they tend to make their stories too specific.
Yeah.
And that was totally one of those. And then today, at work this morning, a guy walks up and he's like, are you hiring? And I was like, no, we're not hiring right now. Maybe in the summer. And he had like some sores on his face and he had really messed up teeth. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about like, yeah, I've just been trying to get a job over here in Port Townsend. Everyone's so happy. I've been living out in Port Angeles and you just wouldn't believe how many people are on meth over there. I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm talking to one of them right now.
Oh, man. Well, people are people, man. That's the one thing about the bus, is that the bus is the great equalizer.
It's true.
It's like, we're just all on the bus. We're just bus people now. It doesn't matter where we were before we got on the bus and where we are afterward. I'm just riding on the bus today listening to Mark Maron and realizing I'm just in a big room full of people that's moving.
Yeah.
And we're all just the bus people now.
I think you need to start the bus cast.
Oh, man, bus cast sounds good.
Eric's Magic School Bus.
Yeah. Wow, it writes itself.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of drinking, I came straight home. I actually bought a 12-pack because they were on sale for only $12.97 at Safeway.
Wow, that's so much better than $12.99.
Definitely. And it's the Red Chair Northwest Pale Ale. This is a spring seasonal that I always enjoy. It's not the greatest batch of Red Chair, but it's hard to make a bad one, and it's still very drinkable and delicious, and I like it.
Great.
What are you drinking?
Well, in honor of our Rhineland correspondent, Dennis, I'm drinking the Kirkland Signature German-style lager.
Oh, wow, the Costco.
Yeah, I got some freebie Costco beers today.
That's crazy. I can't believe they make their own beer.
Well, here's the thing. It is brewed and bottled by Hopfen und Malz Brewing Company in San Jose, which is owned by Gordon Biersch.
Ah.
And Gordon Biersch also makes the Trader Joe's beer.
Well, there you go.
So they just have a big brewery down in California, and they contract brew for Costco and Trader Joe.
Well, you need to do a taste test between the Trader Joe's beer and the Costco beer to see if it's really just the same beer.
That's a great idea.
Don't try to scam us. Dedication. This episode is dedicated to none other than Felix Hernandez, my boy. I love him.
He
is a guy who decided to, he decided, you know, like every sports star, he said, oh, of course I want to stay in Seattle. And everybody's like, come on, man. Everybody knows you want to go pitch for the Red Sox or the Yankees. But no, he actually does want to stay here. He just signed a 7-year extension on his contract. And guess what? He's the highest paid pitcher in baseball. Totally deserves it. Felix Hernandez. I love him. And he's ours now forever.
For 7 years.
For 7 years.
Yeah. But, at the end of the year last year, I remember a lot of people saying like they're probably going to trade Felix try and get like 3 or 4 young guys to build a team around.
And I was like, we already did that. With Cliff Lee and everybody else. The thing about Felix is that, and I think people tend to overlook this, is that he's been in the Mariners organization since he was like 14 years old.
Wow.
Like, they found him in Venezuela. They taught him how to throw at the major league level. They brought him up. He's basically lived his entire life a Seattle Mariner. And he is like, you know what? This is my crew. I like these guys, and I'm just going to stay here.
Literally a crew because they're Mariners.
Right, exactly. So, Felix, we love you. I might get a Felix Hernandez t-shirt this year.
Yeah, safe to get one of those, huh?
I had the Unieski Betancourt t-shirt, and he left 2 years after I got it. So I've been rocking that for a while, but I think I might get the Felix. I've also been thinking about the Freddie Montero. Maybe I'll splurge and get two. But I'm just excited. You know, I work down at Soto. I'm excited to walk up and go to some Felix games this year. Felix Hernandez with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. You are the dedicatee of this episode.
Mm. I like those words you're making up.
Thank you. Jesse, are you ready for a D20 roll-off?
Let's do it, Mabuki.
Little Tiny Matt roll-off. We're each going to roll a 20-sided die to see who gets to speak first on the podcast. And I forgot mine, so I'm going to do it online, and I'm trying to search with my one hand. And here we go. Jesse, are you ready to roll?
Yeah, I actually already rolled.
Damn it.
I rolled a 19.
Okay. Well, I rolled a 5. So there you go.
All right. Well, for my first topic, there's kind of two things going on right now. We got some breaking news here. Mm-hmm. Eric, you're going to be excited about this.
Right.
Chuck Testa.
I love Chuck Testa.
He's doing an AMA on Reddit right now.
Are you serious?
He's currently doing one.
I'm Chuck Testa.
So the first question here is, would you rather taxidermy one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized
perfect.
Horses?
That's a perfect question for Reddit.
He did not answer that.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be one horse-sized duck.
Yeah, I mean, 100 little horses, that would be a lot of taxidermy.
It'd be a lot of taxidermy. So before we get into this, I don't know if everybody knows who Chuck Testa is. So we're gonna have to play the Chuck Testa commercial for everybody. And this is a commercial that went viral and spawned my favorite phrase, which is "Nope, Chuck Testa." I tried "Nope, Eric Walquist" for a while, but it didn't really work out. Anyway, here's the commercial.
You probably thought this deer was alive, and this coyote was alive, and this pheasant was alive. Nope, they're not. They're dead. They've been taxidermized by Chuck Testa. Ojai Valley Taxidermy. I specialize in the most lifelike dead animals anywhere. Period.
Look at that antelope driving a car.
Nope, it's just Chuck Testa.
Oh no, there's a bear in my bed.
Nope, Chuck Testa.
Hold on a second. There's a leopard feeding on an impala out on my deck.
Nope, it's just Chuck Testa with another realistic mount. Shipped to me from anywhere. Call Chuck Testa for the most lifelike dead animals around, period.
Did that rhino just order a drink?
Nope.
Chuck Testa does not taxidermize pet.
Nope. Chuck Testa.
Yeah, so next question here from Musto Charles is, did that rhino just order a drink? Do you want to guess the answer to that, Eric?
Nope, Chuck Testa.
You're correct.
Thank you.
Jewish Taco asked, what did you have for breakfast?
Nope, Chuck Testa.
Nah, he said pears.
That would have been the best thing is if he just, first of all, pears?
Yeah, pears.
Were they canned?
I don't know.
I used to eat canned pears in college. I used to eat just a can of pears in college when I was starving.
That's like all sugar.
Yep.
That's like a can full of sugar.
It helps the medicine go down.
I guess.
Second of all, Chuck Testa should have just answered every question. Nope, Chuck Testa.
That would be funny.
Oh, the troll. Well, what else we got?
So beyond that, in a little bit of science news, something kind of exciting has happened in the world.
Yep.
And that is that the world's first bionic eye has seen the light of day.
Holy shite.
So scientists have created a bionic eye, and they describe it as in, there are photoreceptor cells that turn light into electrochemical impulses that are transmitted to your brain via the optic nerve.
Yep.
Where they are decoded into images. So basically, they've created a machine that bypasses that for people who have lost those photoreceptor cells due to a rare disease that afflicts 100,000 people in the United States.
Oh.
So I think this is awesome.
So yeah, absolutely. So does it actually like plug into their brain?
Yeah.
Jeez.
It goes into the brain. I think there's something like 200 inputs that go into the brain to replicate that. And one interesting thing is that they said they see mostly in black and white, but we have demonstrated more recently that we can produce color vision as well.
It's so funny that everything starts off with black and white.
Yeah. Well, it's easy.
Yeah. Black and white,
simple. Anyone can make a black and white bionic eye.
Right. And it gives you that nice old-timey feel.
See, you know, back, they started with black and white, then they progressed to sepia tone, right, which is kind of confusing. Why the sepia tone transition?
I think it gives you a more flesh tone-like appearance.
I guess, but is that much of an improvement from black and white?
See, I feel like it went sepia tone to black and white, because if you think about like old-timey photos, they're all sepia tone. Like, I think maybe it was just like a brown chemical.
But I feel like when you look at really old photos, they're black and white, but maybe not. I don't know.
Who knows? There's no way to know.
This is a fascinating conversation, to be sure.
Yes, there's no way to find out.
So I wanted to ask you, Eric, within reason, what kind of bionic parts would you want?
Within reason?
Well, basically no wing wings.
No wings. Okay. I choose not to acknowledge the second part of that, but it is hilarious.
Okay.
You know, I'm a tall guy and I feel like eventually my knees are going to go out. So I'll probably have bionic knees at some point.
That's a good point. If you could have like some, like piston activated knees or something.
Oh yeah. I
think hydraulic knees.
I think just like robot legs in general would be good.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got, you know, you could have foot problems, you can have circulation problems, your legs are basically, you get varicose veins, your legs are just gonna, like, deteriorate like crazy, and then they're just gonna become these things that are dangling off the edge of your body, and you hate them. So why not just replace them with titanium piston legs?
Yeah.
Atomic power.
Do you think your legs ever get pissed off at your arms?
You mean jealous?
Well, yeah, jealousy, because, I mean, jealousy and resentment, because, I mean, they probably started off as the same thing.
Yeah.
And then just due to bad placement, they ended up having to be the workhorses of your body.
Yeah, well, it's not even bad placement, because it's the hands. Like, the hands, that's the crux. Like, if we had hands on all fours, we might just crawl around.
But we did at one point.
Yeah. But then we started developing feet, and then the feet screwed everything up.
Our feet just got smushed into these gross hands.
I know. They got these hands that are like, we don't need all of the finger.
With stubby little fingers.
Yeah.
It's kind of gross. See, I have the opposite problem of you, in that I'm not a particularly tall man. Mm-hmm. And we decided to play a little bit of football a couple of weekends ago, and I think I need bionic arms.
Why?
Because I can't catch or throw a football.
Well, come on, man. You just started.
Yeah,
it takes some time. You're not Jordy Hoyt here.
I know. Well, apparently some people can just waltz into it and not ever have touched a football before and become MVPs at life.
Exactly.
And that's not me. I need a little performing enhancement.
But it's good that you got a ball now, and you can juggle that ball. You can bounce it up and down. You can play with the ball. You know, you can do whatever you want with the ball. It's your ball.
I know, but I could also get bionic arms.
Yes.
Which is, I think, that would be what I splurged.
Yeah, there are those robots that, like, can catch a ping pong ball and stuff.
Are there?
Flight. Yeah, just Google robot catching ping pong ball and it'll blow your mind.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, Jaffe Baseman asks, what's the strangest thing you've taxidermied?
What's that?
I have to say that I was recently asked to do a human rib bone as well as two human fingers, and in the animal world, I mounted a two-headed calf.
How do you mount a rib bone?
I don't know. It's really taxidermy, this rib bone, please.
Yeah.
Okay, done.
Here you go. That'll be $250.
Yeah. I also find it weird that Chuck Tess's name on his username is Big C 87.
Yeah, that makes sense. Big C 87 is a notorious troll.
Oh, yeah. Damn. I've been duped.
No, it's just Chuck Testa. It's a notorious troll who only wrote, nope, see Big C 87 on every comment.
Yeah. well, there you go. That's your mix of Chuck Testa and Bionics.
There you go. And it all comes together.
That's a business he should get in.
It all comes together with doing things with body parts.
Now, what if... Okay, I hadn't really thought about this until now, but what if you got into the robotic taxidermy business? Mm-hmm. My cat...
Now you're thinking, Jesse. Now you're thinking.
Yeah, my cat, I love him. He died. I can't go on without this cat. Give it to me. I'll cut the skin off, pull the eyeballs out, and put it on this RoboCat.
RoboCat that also vacuums.
Yeah, just stretch that skin over a Roomba.
Yeah, Roomba.
You have the perfect pet.
I do like the idea of the RoboCat. It's like we have four dispositions. We have ignore. We have don't give a fuck. We have feral. And then we have the wild card. It's like a Furby. It just, you never know what mood it's going to have.
It's like, maybe I want to play, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe I want to destroy you. You have to watch out because they do have steel claws.
Yeah, you're going to get scratched.
You're
going to
get cut up.
I love the idea of, like, you know, the Terminator vision, except it's just a cat, like, walking through and it sees you and it's like, brr, brr, yeah. Do not give a fuck. Brr, brr. And it walks off.
This cat comes with its own laser pointer.
Laser rifle.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. That could seriously be a business in the future.
It really could. Chuck Tesla could get on that. Yeah. RoboCat.
Taxa cyborg.
Yep. All right. Jesse, we have some listener feedback that we need to get to. I forgot to get it at the beginning of the show. But we're going to switch some stuff up, so get over it. Get off my back. Yeah. So first of all, we got our Connect the Dotsy this week. Roger Dotsy, he wanted to remind us that he is not from Tennessee. He is from Kentucky. He's a Kentucky colonel. His name is now Kentucky Gerbil.
Kentucky Gerbil.
Kentucky Colonel Roger Dotsy, Connect the Dotsy each week. Okay. As we all know, this podcast is being released on Valentine's Day. So hopefully you're cozying up to a loved one, putting an earbud in each of your ears and listening to it together as you breathe in each other's mouths. Roger said that he has a Valentine's Day tradition, and he wanted to know if we had any. But first of all, here's his. On Valentine's Day, he and his, is it his wife? I believe, yes, it's totally his wife, dress up and feast at McDonald's. The only day of the year she eats there. That may not be allowed for a lot of couples. My wife's just that awesome. But the real magic is on the weekend closest to it. It's a magical weekend. First, we indulge in our guilty pleasures all weekend. Cookie cake from Great America, Little Caesars, Texas Roadhouse, a dozen donuts from Krispy Kreme, and a breakfast from our favorite breakfast place in Louisville, Wild Eggs High Reco.
I really want to go there.
Yeah, I want to go to Louisville. Just for the Sluggers.
I do, too. We could go to the Slugger Museum.
Yeah, just the Sluggers.
Also, what is a Texas Roadhouse?
I have no idea.
Anyway, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, the Texas Roadhouse. It's two fists of bacon.
Oh, God.
And then you punch each other in the face with them, and then you eat the bacon as you're getting punched.
I am okay with that.
Yeah.
Sounds romantic.
It does. Says they're all on the docket. Plus, we always see two movies, a horror movie and a romantic comedy. As you said a few weeks ago.
What's the difference? Nice.
Yeah, that was my RoboCat. as you said a few weeks ago. No good movies come out now, so we cheese it up and have a ball, especially after Oscar movie weekend. Finally, all our activities are all weekend alternate between what we each want to do. So in short, make it fun. V-Day is about love, so share your love by sharing what you love. He wants to ask what we do. And thank you so much, Roger, for emailing us. You know, my wife's birthday is February 17th. So I'm kind of off the hook because for Valentine's Day, we don't really do anything special. But for her birthday, then we do something special. We go on a trip or something.
Double down.
But, you know, for Valentine's Day, I usually stay home. I cook the meal. I'm cooking short ribs this year. Doesn't have to be anything super romantic. Just has to be something delicious. And then we'll probably rent a movie. So throw some flowers in the mix and you got a V-Day.
There you go.
Do you do anything special, J-Dog?
We haven't really had time to establish a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
This will be Tasha and my second Valentine's Day together.
Right.
And we have a 3.5-month-old baby, so do the math on that one.
Uh-huh.
Last year, we were still kind of secret dating.
Yep.
Because we worked together, so we didn't want anyone to know. And she had to borrow my car, and she filled it up with gas, so that was awesome.
That sounds like a good tradition.
I like that tradition a lot.
Yep.
But I think we're going to go to Papa Murphy's and order one of those heart-shaped pizzas.
Uh-huh.
And then just pick up a couple of good beers and chill out at home and play Agricola. That's our plan.
That sounds awesome. I do like the idea of just sneaking around. That's kind of exciting too.
Ooh, it's like I like that too.
You could have a sneaky with your SO. You know, I don't know. Lydia had a good idea though. My wife had a good idea. Maybe she was saying we should just throw a party on Valentine's Day because everybody has so much pressure on Valentine's Day to do something. And like, we don't want to go. This is why we cook dinner at home, because we don't want to go out and like, there's never any parking, and you can't get reservations anywhere, and it's just like...
Yeah, going out on Valentine's Day is for suckers.
Right. And so,
unless you're going to McDonald's.
Exactly. And so, you know, we were like, why don't we just throw a party, and we can invite all our friends. They're all off the hook, too, and then we're going to have a great V-Day party time.
Mmm. Lots of sneaking around at that party.
But, you know, to each his own. Roger, I like your tradition. We also got a couple of voicemails this week. I think first I want to play from our German correspondent, Dennis.
Rhineland correspondent.
What is it?
Rhineland.
What's Rhineland?
Like the land of the Rhine.
The Rhine River.
Right.
Ah.
Western Germany.
Okay. Rhineland. Our Rhineland correspondent, Dennis Kleinbeck. And here's what he had to say.
Hey, Arrogance, it's the German with his voicemail again. Before I get to the core of my message, I would like to state that there is no kind of relation between the Austrian actor Christoph Waltz and the German movie snob Dennis Kleinbeck, like you said in the last cast. So, since this is out of the way, I've been sick the last few days, so I spent all of my time listening to podcasts and watching all those movies that I bought, but never had the time to watch. So what I wanted to say is actually that I pretty much fell in love with movies that were made in the 70s and 80s. They are so great with such suspenseful music. And those are very, very good. So my question is, do you prefer those movies or do you prefer the modern cinema, action cinema with Transformers and, I don't know, Avengers? Yeah, this is my question. That's it. Get off my back and stay arrogant, guys.
Get off my back.
Get off my back.
Seriously, get off my back. Dennis, we all know that you're Christoph Waltz. We're all pulling for you. You don't have to disguise it. And you know, we love Django. We loved you in Django.
Yeah, you're great. And obviously if you were Christoph Waltz.
Right.
It's the obvious decision to come on our podcast and send us voicemails.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have a wide appeal. It's not a big to-do that we have an international Oscar-winning movie star as one of our listeners, and he likes to call in. I understand that you need to protect your identity. I do notice Dennis doesn't actually call our voicemail line at 360-362-0024. He sends us voicemails, so we can't track it.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yep. He sent us audio files.
I do not believe that voicemail that he supposedly sent us from Balcom.
Yeah.
The city in North Rhine-Westphalia, mm-hmm. Western Germany, which is located in the Ruhr area and surrounded by the cities of Essen, Gelsenkirchen, Herne, Kastrup, Ruxel, Dortmund, Wittmann, and Hattingen. You expect me to believe that?
Right.
That did not come from a city with a population of 375,000 and it's the 16th most populous city in Germany. No way.
No way. Well, anyway, regardless, Christoph, I mean, Dennis, we do love those movies. And I would say especially action movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that goes all the way into the 90s. It goes all the way up until, because like my favorite action movie of all time is True Lies, which I think came out in like 1996 or something, or 94. I love that movie. I think it's great. I could watch it over and over and over again. And it does, you do get that suspenseful music, but it's got like the weird, you got to do it with the weird VHS like bounciness. So it's like, you know, VHS.
Those music to our listeners' ears.
Oh, I know. Jesse, what do you think of these movies?
I couldn't agree more. I love the 80s movies, you know, your Predators, your Aliens, your Roadhouse, you got your Bloodsport, you got your Time Cop.
Mm-hmm. RoboCop.
You got your RoboCop? I mean, how can you forget
Total
that?
Total Recall?
Total Recall, it's the heyday of action movies.
Right.
And you just, the aughts and the teens so far just don't hold a candle to it.
Well, that's the weird thing is like now all movies, all big movies are like these epic stage pieces. Like it's like we have to make this part animated feature, part giant $200 million movie, and it needs to make $500 million in order to be a success.
Yeah, I feel like the action movies of the 80s were a lot more self-aware, and they knew that they were goofy, so they didn't have to like be just super serial.
Right.
And what's the best action movie that I've seen in modern times?
What?
Expendables.
Oh, there you go.
Which is just an 80s movie made today.
Harkening back.
Although, I mean, you also have like your Snatches and your Lockstocks.
Yeah, but that's a whole other deal. And really, those are more turn of the century movies.
Right. But those are great, too.
They are good. But I also, and Dennis, I don't know, you didn't really specify exactly what titles, but I think that's what, those are the Hallmark movies that we love, are the action movies of that time. Of course, we love your Dog Day Afternoons, your Scorsese's, your, of course, what Kubrick was doing that during that period was awesome.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Your Raging Bull, you know, all that, too. That's all good, too. But really, if you want the bread and butter, just smother me with 80s action films.
Yeah. Yep. And there were some good war movies going on there.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I
mean, Full Metal Jackets, yeah. your Hamburger Hills,
The Deer Hunter,
the Clint Eastwood Vietnam movies were fantastic.
I actually did a paper on Vietnam movies when I was in school, and it was interesting because, you know, there have been plenty of movies produced now that are, I'm going to talk about a paper that I wrote in college.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. There are plenty of movies now that are about either the Iraq War, things like, what was that bomb movie? The Hurt Locker.
Mm.
And there's plenty of movies.
I thought you meant great.
What?
That's when you said bomb.
Oh.
You know that bomb movie?
Oh, yeah. The Super Bomb movie. It's Super Bomb. sorry. But
just spit beer everywhere.
But like the Vietnam War era was much more like high I don't know. It hit a nerve in society. And they didn't make any Vietnam movies during the Vietnam War. They only made one, and it was The Green Beret. It starred John Wayne, and it was like a classic John Wayne movie that they just like smacked Vietnam on. And then they didn't make any Vietnam movies until 10 years after the war was over. And The Deer Hunter was really the first Vietnam movie that was made.
You know, I haven't seen The Deer Hunter yet.
Oh, it's good.
I need to watch that one. What do you think of what's the one with Marlon Brando?
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Classic. Modern classic. Modern Citizen Kane.
Do you know it was a total flop when it first came out?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I guess it was a, kind of a slow burn classic. Yeah.
I think Citizen Kane was kind of the same thing. But my favorite one is definitely Full Metal Jacket. We're getting down a road here. This is becoming a topic. We got one more phone call. And this is from a new caller, I believe. And it goes a little something like this.
Hey, Eric and Jessica. This is Jason in Cincinnati. This might be an old topic since it's been on for the last three episodes, but I wanted to weigh in on the whole Star Wars thing. A lot of people say that J.J. Abrams is a Star Trek guy going to do Star Wars, but I just thought it might need to be pointed out that he kind of considers himself a Star Wars guy doing Star Trek movies. So, and plus there's like an R2-D2 in the first movie. I mean, how do you get more Star Wars than that? So, yeah, I guess that's it. Get off my back.
Get off my back.
Get off my back.
Jason, thank you so much for calling. You know, this is the thing. It's he actually said when they were talking about the possibility of new Star Wars directors, he was saying, you know, I've loved Star Wars. I grew up on it. And the thing that I did when I took Star Trek on was that I didn't know anything about it. He wasn't a Star Trek fan at all. So he was kind of able to do whatever he wanted with Star Trek. But, you know, he's a Star Wars fan. He's the guy. He's the guy of the moment. So let's see what he does. This is his time. And like I said before, he's King of the Nerds. Also, our good buddy and karaoke master, John O'Brien, from Boston, wrote us and told us, let us in that J.J. Abrams is also working with Gaben and Valve to produce a Half-Life movie. So, yeah, it's just total King of the Nerds for J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
What are you going to do, man?
Total saturation.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he'll be directing the Necronomicon.
I hear the book is always better than the movie, though.
No one's ever gotten through it without going insane. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for chiming in on our listener feedback. You can always send us a voicemail. Just call us 360-362-0024. You'll go straight to voicemail and you can leave it there. Or you can email us at personalarrogance@gmail.com. Thank you so much for your input. And now it's time for me to talk. And this also harkens back to, karaoke master John O'Brien from Boston. He wrote us on last week's episode. He wanted to get his suggested topic in early. And he said, hypothetically, you get to pick a celebrity entourage of four people to hang out with. It includes a musician, an athlete, an actor, and a wild card. Who would you pick? So let's go through these, Jesse. I'll go first. So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the musician category. Now, my mind went straight to Ben Gibbard, because Ben Gibbard is my hero, a graduate of Olympic High School, where I went to high school, native of Bremerton, Washington, went to Western Washington University, which is where you went, lived in Seattle, started Death Cab for Cutie, was in the Postal Service, married Zooey Deschanel, got divorced from Zooey Deschanel, now he's doing more touring. All-around guy, I feel like I could talk to him because like we're from the same place.
Yeah, and that's pretty... I actually kind of forgot about that.
Yeah.
The whole Olympic high school thing.
Yeah, totally. Like, he's from Bremerton. We went to the same high school.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I totally spaced that out.
And so I'm like, oh, we could talk about, I don't know, what was that pizza place at the fairgrounds?
Fairgrounds Pizza?
Yeah, Fairgrounds Pizza.
I could talk to him. My science teacher in high school was a lifeguard with him.
Awesome.
At the swimming pool.
Yeah, there at Olympic?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So I originally, like, I went straight to Ben Gibbard. But then I was like, if I could pick any musician.
Yeah, too easy.
You gotta go with Snoop Dogg. Because anywhere you go with Snoop Dogg, you're gonna get the star treatment. Like, I feel like Snoop Dogg, like, even more than Jay-Z, like, Snoop Dogg's the type of guy you can hang out with. And I feel like you could have a good time with, and he's going to make sure you have a good time, and you can literally go anywhere and you'll get like the coolest booth and like as much Cristal vodka as you want. And he's just going to have
Cristal is champagne, stupid.
Whatever. And it'll be fun. like, if you want to have the best time of your life, I feel like spending just going out with Snoop Dogg for a party, for a hang, I think that you'd probably have the greatest time you've ever had.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good answer.
So I'm going with Snoop. Who are you going with?
Well, first, I want to just say I don't see a reason why Brian Bosworth couldn't fill all of these categories.
Well, true.
So that's my default. That's my number one.
Okay.
Number two, I don't know, I think I might be combining the two of your choices. Ben Gibbert plus Snoop Dogg equals Jimi Hendrix.
Well, there you go. Oh, yeah, Seattle, that's true. These aren't living or dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Living or dead, right?
Right.
Yeah, so one, he's local. We can talk about Seattle stuff. I lived there for almost a year, so he'll relate to that. He ran away from Seattle when he was 14, so there's that.
Right.
We could talk about train stations.
Yep.
I've waited for my train to be a-coming before, so
me too.
I feel like we've got that in common.
Yep.
And two, you know, living legend, except living he's dead. So
yeah.
And I feel like you might even get the booth, one better booth than Snoop Dogg.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I feel like Snoop Dogg's got the booth, and then, like, the guy comes in, he's like, yo, Jimmy just showed up. Snoop, you gotta go.
Also, Jimmy has his own line of vodka.
Well, there you go.
Which was created posthumously, so I don't know how he necessarily feels about that. But
I don't know.
That's another topic of discussion.
Yes. All right. Well, let's move on to the athlete. I think athlete's a no-brainer for me. It's going to be Felix Hernandez. He just signed a contract for $25 million a year. So you know he's picking up the tab, even from Snoop Dogg. And he's like my age. He's like.
Yeah. This was a fun game. I forgot about this. All the Seattle athletes who are between your birthday and my birthday.
Right, right.
Between our ages.
Right.
I think we had Felix, we had Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
There's another one. I forget.
The funny thing is that, yeah, so Marshawn Lynch was born April 22nd, 1986. So, yeah, that's between our birthdays. The sad thing is that Russell Wilson is way younger than us.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's younger than us. I have come to terms with this.
Yes. But yeah, Felix Hernandez, man. I feel like we could have a good time. Seems like he can party, and yeah, he's picking up the tab. So
what makes you feel like he can party?
He's Venezuelan, man. He's the life of the party.
That's racist.
It's super racist to say that people from Venezuela are really fun to hang out with. Jesse, who is your athlete?
I would go with fellow Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
You might expect me to go with a fellow Wilson,
right.
But I'm not going to.
Right.
I'm going with Jesse Owens.
Jesse Owens is still alive. Is he? You're just going with the old timey guys.
Is there a problem with that?
No. There's no stipulation.
Yeah. So we can talk about being named Jesse.
Jesse Owens died in 1980. So, yeah, both of your
guys
are
dead. There's no way he raced against the Nazis.
I'm sorry. I got it mixed up.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, I'm a history buff. I know a lot about the Nazi movement and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we could talk about that.
World War II.
Talk about World War II. Uh-huh. And I would laugh about how his name's not actually Jesse, but it was JC.
Uh-huh.
But everyone called him Jesse anyway.
Right.
And, you know, I think that would be fun. He has a room at my booth with Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy, Jesse, and Jimmy. And
so
Jesse.
Far, it's Jimmy, Jesse, and Jesse.
Yeah, it's a full Jay conspiracy going.
Exactly.
All right, now it's time for an actor. So put this in your mind. I'm already hanging out with Snoop Dogg, and I'm hanging out with Felix Hernandez. I think that the only actor who can hold that type of company would have to be Nicolas Cage.
Mm.
Although I feel like it might be kind of depressing to hang out with Nicolas Cage.
I don't think I would enjoy that at all.
Well, how about the up and coming Nicolas Cage, John Cusack?
There you go.
Yeah, there
he's
you go.
He's an up-and-coming Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, he's the up-and-coming Nicolas Cage. Mm. He's like four movies away from making a medieval a medieval epic in Yugoslavia. Calling it Ironclad. Okay, or The Witches, whatever. I don't remember. But yeah, I'll go with John Cusack. I feel like my crew is really coming out into a, and he's like the older, wiser. I guess Snoop Dogg's kind of old now too, but John Cusack, I feel like he's been to a few parties back when he was in the Brat Pack, and knows his way around a good time.
Yeah. Who's and your... it's not even Venezuelan.
Exactly. So, who's your actor?
I feel like, Paul Rudd would be a fun guy to hang out with. He just kind of seems like an everyday kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would have like a hyperinflated ego. So right. I think he would have a lot to add to the conversation. He probably knows a little bit of World War II history to throw in there also. I don't know what I'm basing that off of.
I think that I need to revoke my John Cusack.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw in Tina Fey.
Oh, that's
because
a good answer.
She would be a blast to hang out with. She would be able to goof.
Yeah, she'd be a goofer.
Yep.
For sure.
So anyway, Tina Fey. And then finally the wild card, Jesse. So I was talking about this with Lydia and she didn't really agree with this, but I feel like if you're going to have a wild card, it has to be a wild card. It has to be your Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover.
Right.
Like it's got to be the sore thumb, right? And my wild card is going to be Alex Trebek. Cause I feel like Alex Trebek is a secret party animal.
You have officially thrown the worst party ever.
Hey, why?
This sucks.
Why?
I like my booth way more.
My booth is awesome, dude.
I don't know. No, no. There's no way Alex Trebek and Tina Fey would get along.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like
they
Alex
would
Trebek,
butt heads. It would be awkward.
I feel
and
like
stilted.
Alex Trebek is kind of a dick.
Yeah, totally.
Ah, crap. Well, fine. If we're going, oh, this guy's not even dead yet. I'm gonna go Bob Barker. If I'm going,
not even dead yet.
Yeah, I thought he was dead, but he's not.
Or Bob.
I'll go with Bob Barker because I know Bob Barker can throw himself a party
and a punch. I've seen Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I think he'd have a good time.
Yeah, Bob Barker would be fun to hang out with.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for setting me straight, Jesse. Who's your wild card?
Brian Bosworth, baby. The Boz is Boz. Back.
Yep.
At my booth.
Why did I even ask?
Yeah. Duh. Although I would rather just hang out with four Brian Bosworths.
Well, there you go.
call it Boston in here.
Right. So that's our answer. Please let us know what your answer is, listener. A musician, an athlete, an actor, and a wild card. Go ahead.
Let us know whose booth is best.
Yeah, go and let us know whose booth is best. You know mine's the best.
Mm-hmm.
I got Snoop Dogg, I got Felix Hernandez, I got Tina Fey, and I got Bob Barker. And who do you have, Jesse?
Jimi Hendrix, Jesse Owens, Paul Rudd, and Brian Bosworth.
Yeah. Blech. All right. Well, let us know who your four would be. Go ahead and send us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. Jesse, are you ready for a break?
That's a scatagorical yes.
Oh, really?
Mm.
All right. So this is a shout out to another loyal listener. We love it when you tell us what's up because we will listen to you. That's part of the deal here. And this goes out to Priscilla Torres. She's a loyal listener. She says she doesn't even drink beer or play board games, but we entertain her. And we love to entertain Priscilla. And she says that she missed us playing scat category, so you know what that means. It's time for scat categories. Jesse, why don't you explain the rules?
Well, essentially, we're going to be dealt a letter of the alphabet and have a bunch of categories
read,
and you have to say a word that pertains to that category that begins with the assigned letter.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, a horribly, horribly distracting soundtrack will be played to make it harder because it wasn't hard enough.
Yeah.
Already.
So you might be saying to yourself, that just sounds like scatagories. And it's like, it is scatagories, but guess what? We're also going to have scat music playing in the background, provided by Ella Fitzgerald, and it's going to be a blast. That's what it's going to be. So, Jesse, you want to go first or second? You won the roll off.
I'll go first.
Okay. So,
how's this going to work? Because, I mean, we are doing it over a distance.
Right. So I'm going to have to read them to myself.
Okay.
But that's fine. That'll work.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
So I'm going to roll our alphabet die here to see what letter we're doing this week. Oh, it's S, Jesse. This is a pretty good letter. It's pretty easy.
Fitting.
Yes. Jesse, we're going to start the clock here, and we're each going to keep time, and let's start out with the music.
Oh, my God.
All right, Jesse, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Here we go. Fictional character, S.
Santa Claus.
Menu items.
Sandwiches.
Magazines.
Sports Illustrated.
Capitals.
Sacramento.
Kind of candy.
Salt Taffy.
Items you save up to buy.
Shotguns.
Footwear.
Sandals.
Something you keep hidden.
Boop. Pass.
Boop. Items in a suitcase.
Socks.
Things with tails.
Squirrels.
Sports equipment.
Shoulder pads.
And crime.
Boop.
Boop. Boop. Beep. Jesse, you did well. You got 8 right. Or you got 10, you got 10 right out of 12.
I'm okay with that.
All right. Good job, Jesse. Now, this one's for me. I'm still going to stay with the letter S. Here we go. Restaurants. Sbarro. Notorious people. Jesse, got to let me know when I run out of time. Let's pass. Fruits. Star fruit. Things in a medicine cabinet. Syringes.
Nope.
What if you're diabetic?
Well, actually, maybe if you're diabetic. Okay.
Toys. Star Wars action figures.
Okay.
Household chores. Spring cleaning. Spring cleaning. Bodies of water. Sea of Cortez. Authors. Steinbeck. Halloween costumes. Crap. Weapons. A sword. Things that are round, a sphere, and words associated with exercise. Sweat.
I think that's 10.
That's 10, Jesse. Now, this is up to you. I did say household chores, spring cleaning. Does that count?
I think it does.
All right. Well, we tied, so you know what that means.
Geography tiebreaker?
Geography tiebreaker.
All right.
All right, let me grab the cards.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I have the cards right here. I'm going to read Trivial Pursuit. Who's ever geographically closest to the answer will win the game. And here's the question that's not geographically closer. It is, Jesse, you might know this, though. What's the most common Russian surname?
Ivanovich?
Ivanov.
Oh, yeah. I did the middle name, but oh.
Same. Is that idea. After Ivan the Terrible?
It's anyone named Ivan. That's essentially the, I don't know, Johnson of Russia.
Yeah, okay.
Ivanov.
Here we go. Oh, God, that's easy. That's too easy.
Okay.
All right, here we go. What is Britain's position on the Chinese mainland?
Yeah.
It's not even relevant anymore. Okay, here we go. What body of water borders Saudi Arabia to the east?
Would that be the Red Sea?
I'm going to go with the Arabian Sea.
Mm.
The Persian Gulf. But, all right, now you're going to make me Google it. Oh, this is the longest break ever.
Yeah, that's okay.
Persian Gulf, Gulf of Oman is right next to that. The Arabian Sea is right off of there. The Red Sea is on the other side. I'm going to go with the Arabian Sea. It's closer.
All right.
All right, I
Congratulations.
Win.
Congratulations.
Well, finally. Well, Jesse, you won the roll-off, so why don't you tell me your second topic?
Yeah, I'm not totally convinced that the Sea of Cortez is a real thing, by the way.
Oh. Let me go. I just, that was just somewhere in the back of my, yeah.
I just Googled it. It's the Gulf of California, also known as the Sea of Cortez.
What's wrong with that? So if I said Salish Sea, you wouldn't give it to me?
Well, you didn't say that, and it would have given you double points.
Yes, it would have.
Anyway, so, the State of the Union address happened yesterday as
right.
we're recording.
Yep. The so too.
And we don't like to get political on the show.
No.
But there was one thing that was brought up, mm-hmm. which was universal preschool.
Yep.
Essentially, public school available to everyone for preschool instead of, you know, private school. And there are, like, state and federally funded, that's a great word.
Yep.
Funded.
Yep.
Preschool programs.
Yep.
But this would just be, like, school for all preschool kids.
Yep.
And I want to know what your thoughts are on this. But first, uh-huh. I want to just say as a parent.
Yep.
I think this is a great idea.
Oh, I think it's a wonderful idea.
I think it's a great idea. And anything to get the baby out of the house faster. You know what? I don't see why 2-year-olds can't be going to school. Learning starts almost immediately.
That's true.
My daughter is almost 4 months old. I don't see why she's not in a school that's paid for by the state right now. Come on.
So you just want to get the kid out of the house.
If we're going to win this Cold War, Eric.
Right.
We need computer programmers, uh-huh. chemists,
right.
physicists,
right.
you know. And that kind of learning starts, at birth, even
yep.
earlier,
yep.
in my opinion, you
yep.
know. Get the old speaker up to the womb
yep.
and start talking about some, molecular bonding issues.
Well, I really hope that people are putting headphones on their wombs and playing this podcast to their unborn children.
No,
but
they won't come out. They'll be like, I don't want to enter this world.
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
No, thank you. The thing that I like you are right. I mean, your child's brain grows not only in size, but also the way and it starts burning these neural pathways between the ages of 1 and 5. It'll grow like 90% of its size during that time, and it
yeah.
starts establishing neural pathways based on what's happening around it.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that there are critics out there who might say this is kind of scary because then you're basically putting your child in the government's hands at a very young age.
Right.
Which if we're going to win the Cold War, we have to indoctrinate our children to become patriots.
Right.
But at the same time, it's been proven multiple – I mean there's tons of research on this. That early childhood development is instrumental to things like reducing prison rates in adults and – You
in their parents because they yeah. don't go crazy.
Exactly.
Because they get a couple hours of,
right,
of me time.
Of me time during the day. They can play some Xbox.
Exactly.
yeah, but it's like, you know, early childhood development is like you burn these pathways and you kind of think about it like, you know, the kids that you went to school with and like you went to school with them through like elementary school all the way through high school. And if you think about the kids who kind of got left behind during elementary school, they were kind of the same kids once they got into high school and then getting into adult life. Like, it was almost like what they were when they were like 6 years old or 7 years old in first grade, they didn't really change going through all the way to high school. They were always kind of in the same social standing.
Yeah. I don't want this to turn into too much of a circle jerk.
Thank
because
you.
You and I are both huge proponents of education.
Right, right.
Which is, I mean, my only other contribution to this conversation is that babies should be taken out of the household
right.
for mommy and daddy time.
Well, there you go.
I think it's cool. I don't know. It,
Well, Jesse, you found one of my soapboxes, so deal with it. Get off my back.
I'll get right on your back reiterate your point.
All right.
Is what I will do. I think it's great.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Education's cool. We need to teach babies a lot of stuff. And you'll never find someone who's more receptive to learning than a baby.
Right.
Babies are just sitting there, and they're trying as hard as they can to figure everything out.
Yeah.
By the time you're like 8 years old, you're kind of like burned out on learning. You just want to watch SpongeBob and eat popcorn.
Yeah, but when you're a baby, and the other thing that you do is you get, so if you're at a younger age and you can learn how to socially interact with people, that's what I'm talking about in terms of things like prison rates, is that it's like people, they just don't know how to interact with other humans. And so they act out, or they, you know, it's like you need to learn how to socially interact with people in order to be a part of our society.
Especially you need to learn how to deal with authority, because I mean a teacher is a crazy authoritarian figure, especially as a young kid,
right?
And you need, like, you learn at a young age, like, to listen and to stay focused and to try and impress not only your teacher, but your peers also. Did you go to preschool?
Yes.
I did as well. Yeah. And I remember my preschool as clear as day. I remember the room. I remember the people in it. Yeah. And I remember what I think is a crucial moment in my development as a human took place in preschool.
Yeah.
We were all sitting around a circle, and the teacher asked to demonstrate how to give the scissors to someone else.
Uh-huh.
She had the scissors. She had the grown-up scissors, you know, the long ones.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so it was serious business. And she asked for someone to demonstrate how to give scissors, and I raised my hand, and I'm not much of the type of person to throw their arm up and volunteer to be the first person to do something.
Right.
But at that point, I was. Uh-huh. And maybe this experience killed it for me. So I took the scissors, I grab them by the handles, and give them to another preschooler, and that's not allowed.
Wow.
You grab it by the blade to hand the scissors to someone.
Right.
And I blew it.
Yep.
And
now you're the man you are today.
Seared into my mind.
Yep.
And I think the takeaway from that is never be the volunteer.
Exactly.
Wait for someone else.
That's just crazy. You know, the other thing is, like, teachers are like the only adults that you know that aren't your parents.
Yeah, totally.
Or like your uncles or your aunts or whatever.
Yeah, they're not related to you.
They're like, and you're a stranger, but you're also an adult.
Mm-hmm. And I know I'm supposed to listen to you, and you get strict with me sometimes.
Yeah, this is weird.
Yeah, I mean, your teacher is the prototype for what your boss is going to be in the future.
Right, exactly.
And I think it's important that kids get that early and often, because guess what? That's going to be one of the major social interactions you have for the next 60 years of your life.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, preschool, why not?
Yeah, why not? Also, give it for free, because parents need it. They need a break. Parents need a break. Parents need a break.
Parents need a break. Jesse, you've only just begun.
I know. It's crazy.
So my second topic this week has to do with superheroes and stuff. So this is a rumor mill that's coming out. This is from Batman on Film, and it kind of puts some light on what the future of this Justice League franchise could be. So, you know, DC has this idea that they want to do a Justice League movie in the same way that Marvel did an Avengers movie, kind of build up to it with some movies. Man of Steel is, you know, seen as a big indicator of whether or not this will be successful, depending on how that movie does this summer. But the whole idea is that we need to make this Justice League movie. And apparently the Justice League script has been totally scrapped, and they're not really sure what they're going to be doing with it. But this is a rumor that came out from Batman on Film that quotes a source saying, I believe that they are now looking at introducing the rebooted Batman in a solo film though that will likely take place later than initially planned. They are extremely worried about how the Batman film franchise would be affected if Justice League bombs, and rightfully so. If Superman, this summer's Man of Steel, is huge, then they've bought themselves some time and will have a franchise to hang their hat on for 7 or 8 years. The need for Batman won't be as great, and the reboot of the franchise can wait until the Superman trilogy is done. Under that scenario, I'd say around 2019 or so for a new Batman movie.
Jesus Christ.
Now, this brought up a very interesting point, because this means that that Batman could possibly not be in the Justice League movie. And when I hear that, you know, the initial reaction is, oh, that's not good. But then I realize that might be good. Because there's a couple of things that go into it. You have Christopher Nolan's Batman franchise, and that works great for Batman. Nolan pegged Batman. He was like, this movie is exactly what a Batman movie should be. This is exactly what a Batman trilogy should be. It rocked. It was awesome. I loved it. But that doesn't translate. The Nolan's Batman doesn't translate well into a Justice League because it's too real. It's too rooted in realism. So, like, once you have that guy and then you throw in a flying alien and then a guy, a fighter pilot who got transformed by flying aliens, and then a flying alien lady, and then a man merman, like, it gets weird. So
yeah, but Batman, he doesn't have to cooperate with the Justice League as a thing.
Yeah,
he can ground the whole Justice League. He can take it from like these I don't know, these like infallible superhuman, all-powerful figures, and he can be the one to expose how fraudulent they can be and to make it more relatable, and he can be the person that the viewer relates to in the whole, because who are you going to relate to as a viewer in the Justice League? Aquaman?
Well, I think if they put, now this is a little unconventional, but I think if they put the Green Arrow in the Justice League, then he could be the guy that you can identify with.
Yeah, but Batman's better because I don't know how to explain it, but like he can be the unwilling participant. He's right. Kind of forced into being in this position of cooperating with Batman, who he's like, or with Superman, who he's fundamentally opposed to.
Right.
And
he's a reluctant hero.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what the viewer can relate to. If you get rid of Batman, you got no one that's even approachable.
Well, yes and no. I mean, so if you wanted to look at Marvel's Avenger model, then you would say, okay, so Batman could be Iron Man. Thor could be...
Supes.
Well, I would think Thor would actually be Aquaman. And then...
right,
Captain America would be Superman. And like the Hulk could be, if you really want to do a Green Lantern where he's more of a loose cannon, the Hulk could be Green Lantern. And these are very loose ties, but I wouldn't say that Tony Stark is like the everyman part of the Avengers that makes it accessible. I feel like it's an ensemble movie and they pull it off in a way that, like Tony Stark is probably your grounding force because he's the one that's the most established of all the characters. But at the same time, they were able to do a movie that was fun and that highlighted all of these characters in the right way.
That's a flawed analogy, though.
Okay, why is it flawed?
Because the Marvel Universe is completely different from the DC Universe. Okay. In the Marvel Universe, you have a bunch of these characters who are less powerful, who have a lot more flaws, are a lot more humanized. In the DC Universe, you have Superman, who literally can do anything.
Yeah.
And is unstoppable, except by maybe the Green Lantern, who's even more of a person who can do even more of anything, and is even more literally unstoppable.
Right.
And in the Marvel Universe, these heroes are kind of despised often by the common people, whereas in the DC Universe, they're gods walking among the earth, literally.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I, the reason I don't think you can take Batman out of it is because, one, Batman, he's a great, he can almost be an anti-hero. You can throw him in there as a juxtaposition to Superman, who he can, he's invulnerable, he can fly, he can change time, he can see through steel and almost anything.
He's basically an omnipotent being.
He is, yeah. But he is a huge ego.
Yeah.
And Batman is great at bringing people's egos crashing down. I'm reminded of a, well, I only saw this today, but again, hearkening back to Reddit, this on the r/Batman, something came up today. And it was a conversation between Batman and Superman. Superman says, "I'm not like you, Bruce. I don't need to control everything."
Uh-huh.
Batman says, "After all these years, you know it's not about control. It's about trying to do everything I can. And for you, it's about setting an example. Everyone looks up to you. They listen to you. If you tell them to fight, they'll fight." Bruce continues, "But they need to be inspired. And let's face it, Superman," in quotes, "the last time you really inspired anyone was when you were dead."
Well, there you go.
So, I mean, it's the juxtaposition between these guys, like Superman being like the proto, alpha male who everyone worships and listens to, and then Batman being this guy who kind of makes humans better themselves for their own, their own thing. Instead of being looked after, he's trying to make everyone a little bit better for their own sake.
Now, that's fine. That's all fine and good. I'm just thinking that they might have ruined the possibility of an effective Justice League Batman by making Batman so good and so removed from that whole mythological world. You know, it's like, leave the gods and aliens to duke it out. This is what I'm saying, is like, just have your first movie, the Justice League movie, and don't have Batman in it. Just have all the rest of the Justice League in it. Then, maybe at the end of the movie, tease that Batman is around and that Gotham is around. Then do a standalone Batman film that puts Batman in the DC universe, not in like the Nolan universe, not rooted in a reality universe, but an actual DC superhero universe akin to the Tim Burton one, and then have Batman come in for the Justice League 2.
I don't know. I don't like that idea. I like keeping this hyper-realistic Batman, because this is your anchor that pulls it out of like a totally unrelatable universe that you could potentially make with all these other DC people and pull it back into something that is realistic to someone who's going to go watch a movie.
Yeah, I guess the whole thing is we got to see how Man of Steel turns out this summer.
It's probably going to be awful.
It's probably going to be terrible. And then DC is. That's the thing too. Is like, DC, you don't need to do this. Just give me a good Batman movie. Give me a good Superman movie. You don't have to do a Justice League movie. Like, this worked for Marvel. That doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I especially think that Marvel Universe lends itself to crossovers a lot more than the DC Universe does.
Right.
DC, I mean, you can kind of have a bunch of different heroes doing their own hero stuff, whereas Marvel, each hero's kind of less complete, you know? So
yeah, like even if you look at a guy like Wolverine or even somebody like Magneto or, you know, Spider-Man is just a nerdy kid. Like, they all have these human elements to them that ground them in some sort of reality in our world. Superman is not grounded in a reality in our world.
Yeah, I think that's what you risk if you leave Batman out of a Justice League. It's just
The problem is that what if Batman's the only guy who's rooted in the world and everybody else are these weird crazies, like he's just the odd man out at that point.
Unless you make the movie 50% Batman.
50% Batman, 100% awesome. Justice League. All right, Jesse, it's time to move on. We've told you how you can get in touch with us. You can leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024. You can write us at personalarrogance@gmail.com. You can like us on our Facebook page. We've been getting a ton of likes lately. We like it when you like us, and we like you for liking it. And I just want to highlight some of our likes. Ryan Young, Kevin Freeman, Shelley Fisk, Derek Romaine. The list goes on and on. We got Tim Treader. We got Josh Parrigo and lots of others. Thank you so much for liking our Facebook page. But please, guys, you got to go over to the Bald Move Facebook page. You got to check out baldmove.com. We are it's becoming insane because now The Walking Dead is back. So we got that going. We got the Bald Move TV podcast going. We got the Because Show. We love the ladies at the Because Show. We couldn't love them any more than we do right now. And it's Valentine's Day, so that's why we're saying it. But, guys, first of all, Watching Dead is back. And Walking Dead just had its largest viewership of any episode for the premiere, for the midseason premiere. So that's awesome. You got to catch up there. Game of Thrones is happening very, very soon, so you got to get ready for that. There's just a ton of shit happening at Bald Move and baldmove.com. So please check out the Bald Move Facebook page and get in on it. Because it's happening, man. So be a part of it. And then the other thing is you can always rate and review us on iTunes. That helps us out a lot. It gives us iTunes cred. It helps people stumble upon our podcast when they're browsing podcasts on iTunes. And it's just a great way to spread the word. Now, Jesse, didn't we get a good review this week?
Yeah, Eric, we sure did. Yep. the title is my favorite podcast, so that's off to a good start.
A great start.
5 stars. And it reads, it's, well, I'm not going to spoil who wrote it because it's pretty interesting. It could be the greatest podcast ever. Only problem is that I can't talk back to my iPod. No worries. You can call Jesse and Eric and leave them a message.
Right.
If my best friend died, all I would have to do is put an episode on of The Personal Arrogance and bam, instant replacement.
There you go.
It doesn't matter what Jesse and Eric talk about. I'll listen and be entertained. Great show, Josh in Maine. But Josh in Maine's real name is Podcast Connoisseur.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Podcast Connoisseur left us a beautiful review, and we couldn't be happier with it. Yeah, there's just so much great stuff. We also got one from Starbucks Seal. We got one from N. Straka. We got Tony S2. There's so many good reviews.
Why don't you read N. Straka's?
Good. Title's good. Review, 5 stars. Bottom, good. Starbucks Seal says, another great Bald Move podcast. I've been a faithful listener to the Because Show for the past couple of years. They speak so wonderfully of you that I thought I'd check it out. We love the Because Show. We love them so much. So, guys, you can rate and review us on iTunes. We love that. There's just so many ways to get in touch with us. You should be a part of the show. If you write us or leave us a voicemail, you can be a part of the show. We want you to be a part of the show. There's nothing greater than that for us than checking our voicemail line and hearing your beautiful voices or seeing your beautiful words that you write. So please be a part of the show. Get in contact with us. personalarrogance@gmail.com, 360-362-0024, or Facebook or whatever you want. We got a bunch of avenues. Jesse, you ready for some recommendations?
Yeah, I sure am, Eric.
All right, what's your first reco?
Well, I won the roll-off, so on Netflix right now is a new season of Futurama. I believe it's 7.
Yep.
I've been watching it. I've been loving it.
Yep.
Netflix it.
Speaking of Netflix, my first reco is going to be the Netflix original series, House of Cards. I watched this past weekend.
I kind of want to watch this.
This past weekend, I watched the entire first season.
I heard it's really good.
It's good, man. I really liked it. Like, it's just great to have something that's that high quality, and it's just like, bam, here's the entire first season. Watch it at your leisure.
And yeah, that's crazy. They're breaking new ground here.
They really are, and it's a great way. Like, I binged it, dude. I binged it hard. Mm-hmm. I, like, watched three or four episodes the first night. Then I watched 4 episodes the next night, and then 5 episodes the third night. So I just poured through it, and it's really good. It's very, very entertaining. Kind of leaves the season on a strange note. I think that they could have put one more episode on there, but I guess that's why they are making multiple seasons.
There you go. I was talking to one of my coworkers. He was mentioning it, and he said that it was too dark for him to binge it.
Oh, it is pretty dark. It's pretty, the characters are pretty awful. Pretty awful people.
Well, it's about politics, right?
It's about politics. It's also about, sizably about journalism and about like modern journalism.
Interesting.
But also about politics.
Are there a lot of F-bombs?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of F-bombs. There's everything. It's everything you want from an HBO show. But
see,
it's,
Eric,
it's on Netflix.
I'm trying to find shows that I can watch with my daughter in the room. And this doesn't sound like one of them.
Well, you could wear headphones.
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to watch it with Tasha. I mean, I guess we both could wear headphones.
Yeah, like told you before, put an earbud in each ear and breathe into each other's mouths and watch game or whatever this is, House of Cards.
Okay, well, while we're doing that, we will go to my second recommendation, which is rye whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing goes down smoother than rye whiskey when you're breathing in each other's mouths.
Well, there you go.
Yep. So I've been drinking Bullet rye and enjoying it. I like a little spicy rye whiskey.
God, I love Bullet. It's so good.
Mm.
Bullet
bourbon. Have you had the Bullet rye?
I have.
Yeah.
It's delicious. Then my recommendation this week is go to the doctor. Guys, we're guys, and guys don't go to the doctor. I had a this is going to get a little gross, but I had an ingrown toenail for about a year and a half walking around with this thing.
Your toenail's too short, buddy.
No, it's the curse of the big feet. I have like chronic ingrown toenails. Regardless.
Don't clip them in so short.
Well, I don't have to worry about it anymore, Jesse, because I went and got my foot permanently fixed at the doctor, and I had a great podiatrist. It's a completely painless procedure. Like, it sounds gross because they like cut your toenail and they rip it out. And then they dig in.
They
with
cut
the,
your finger off, and then you don't care what they do to your toe.
They replace your toe with your finger, and then it's. But they like cut in, like they numb your toe, and then they cut in, and then they kill the cells that grow the toe and all this stuff. And it sounds terrible, but it there's been a little bit of pain associated with it, but it was nothing compared to walking around with that ingrown toenail for a year and a half, which is like a stabbing pain. It's like having a knife in your toe for a year and a half. And I'm a guy, and I'm saying, I'll just live with it for a little while. I should have gone to the podiatrist a year and a half ago. Go to the doctor, guys.
I don't
just
have
do
home
it.
Insurance.
Well, that's a problem. Yeah, that'll prohibit you. So, welcome to the United States.
There is that.
Well, when you get it, Jesse, just go to the doctor, okay? That's my final answer.
I'll work on, until then. I'll just make sure not to cut my toenails to the point where they destroy my feet.
There you go. And then before we wrap up the show this week, I just want to do a quick Facebook rundown. Levi Reakin says the Pusa Fest 2013 tickets are now on sale. That's Presidents of the United States of America. They're playing in Portland and Seattle. And I've seen them before live. They're a great band live. If you want to go see them, check out Pusa Fest, P-U-S-A Fest 2013. Also, Dennis Kleinbeck, he's taking up the whole show, but he wants to get our take on the upcoming World War Z movie. We always love a new zombie movie. Is that right, Jesse?
I'm not excited about this at all. I won't see it.
Well, there you go. And I would like to hear. He also says I would like to hear condolences for my Brave Aliens DVD, died today.
I'm sorry to hear. That's possibly my favorite movie ever.
Yeah, Aliens. His DVD.
You got to replace that, Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis's DVD died today, and because it's not watchable anymore. Pal, we had fun times. We had fun times, and mostly we had fun times. That's what Dennis says. I also think it's funny that he starts over with Pal, because for all of you video nerds out there, you know that DVD probably was Pal, because it was a German DVD. So it wasn't NTSC. My video nerds know what I'm talking about. Jason Cornelius says,
You went deep.
I went deep in the video nerd. Jason Cornelius says, I might have missed this earlier. But do you guys ever play any pen and paper RPG games? I used to play Wizards of the Coast Star Wars game, and it's a lot of fun. Of course we play pen and paper RPGs. We love Dungeons & Dragons. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah. Actually, this year of my life represents the 50% mark of playing Dungeons & Dragons. I've played it for half of my life.
From now on, you'll have played it for most of your life.
Yeah, totally. Wow. I was happy to figure that one out. I started playing when I was 13, and I've played ever since.
Yeah, I think the first time I played, I was probably 16, so late bloomer. James Patterson, we already talked about the King Felix deal, but he also He wants more. Is it worse than a punch in the face? And maybe we'll be able to accommodate that on the next podcast. Guys, you can find us on Facebook. We always post when we're going to record. And if you want us to talk about anything, you could post it on that thread. Jesse, is that it for this week? Are we done?
Well, I just want to launch into two or three more 45-minute segments.
Good job. All right. So, What's the first segment?
World War II history.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Starting with the invasion of Poland.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Eric, I like to start it with the Japanese invasion of China. I find it offensive that in this Anglo-American-centric telling of World War II history, we begin with the invasion of Poland when, in reality, it had been waging since 1937 when the Japanese invaded China. It's racist to start in 1939. Thank you and good night.
And good night. That's all we have for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Please stay in touch with us, people. We love to pour sound in your ears, and we love it when you pour your sound in ours. So please keep in touch and remember that wherever you go,
and whatever you do,
please stay
arrogant.